Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another in-depth conversation about subjects that really are critically important for us to know, to understand, and as a result, to become more empowered so we have strategies, solutions, options, and giving us a path to travel so we know we can heal and restore our health. And that's really what this program is all about. That's what I'm committed to. That's what my guests are committed to. We're going to be giving you the level of knowledge to empower you so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. Today, we're talking about the topic of autoimmune diseases. We're going to be speaking with Dr. Tom O'Brien and exploring how to heal the autoimmune epidemic that's occurring right now. Dr. Tom O'Brien is an internationally recognized speaker and writer on chronic disease and metabolic disorders. He organized the popular Gluten Summit in November of 2013, and he has more than 30 years of experience as a functional medicine practitioner and an adjunct faculty at the Institute for Functional Medicine. He is also the author of The Autoimmune Fix, How to Stop the Hidden Autoimmune Damage That Keeps You Sick, Fat, and Tired Before It Turns Into Disease. So today is all about autoimmune diseases, what you need to know, what they are. I trust we'll answer so many of the questions you have and put you on a path for healing. And it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Tom O'Brien to the show today.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, it's great, and congratulations on your book. I know you've been doing really well. You've been making such an impact on this topic of autoimmune diseases, which actually is quite a confusing diagnosis because, as we'll get into conversation, there's so many variations on a theme when it comes to an autoimmune problem. And I'd like to start, Tom, by just putting it out there. How big a problem is autoimmune conditions right now in our culture?
Oh, well, great question to start with. And before I answer, I just want to say it's a pleasure to be on your show because in your introduction, you talk about supplying a path to travel, to heal. And that is so profound, and that most of us are raised in a culture that says when you have a problem, get rid of the problem. When you have a symptom, get rid of the symptom. That's not healing. That's suppressing symptoms. And I'd just like to give a big picture overview on that. If you're driving your car and the hot light comes on the dashboard, you have symptoms. No one pulls over, gets underneath the dashboard, finds the wire that goes to the hot light, cuts the wire, starts the car, sees the hot light's not on the dashboard anymore, and drives away just like they were driving before. I mean, we think more of our cars than that, but basically that's how we look at taking care of our health. We wait until a hot light comes on, and then we try to get the hot light off. And we don't know how to look for what's the mechanism for this. So that you identify a path to travel is so critical for all of us. It's just critical. And to your question, your specific question of what is the frequency of autoimmunity, I can't say all or every. That would be a statement that is not validated in the literature, but I can say practically all degenerative diseases, practically all degenerative diseases are diseases of autoimmunity. Alzheimer's is autoimmune, Parkinson's, cardiovascular disease is autoimmune. It has a strong autoimmune component in its initiating phases. Cancer has a strong autoimmune component in its initiating phases. So if we just take those four conditions, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, cardiovascular disease, and cancer, how frequent is autoimmunity? And none of our doctors think of it this way. We think of when a person has traveled down a path of one particular commonly recognized autoimmune disease, and they get to the point to where they have symptoms enough and they get diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroid disease or lupus or multiple sclerosis, that then they think they've just gotten an autoimmune disease. No, it's been going on for years, and that's what I hope we can get to today, is how long these things are going on in our body before the hot light comes on the dashboard. But the specific answer to your question is practically all degenerative diseases have an autoimmune component that starts them off and fuels them in continuing.
And that's such a powerful statement, because when you look at how many people are being diagnosed with a variety of conditions that really fall under the autoimmune category, we see that something really big is driving all of these variations on a theme. And we need to start seeing them as variations on a theme if we really want to address them at the root cause level and begin this healing journey that we were talking about.
Oh, my goodness. I would love, I've got my hand up in the air right now. High five to you, girl. High five. That's exactly what's going on, is that they're variations on a theme. So the goal is that people understand what's the underlying theme. And if you understand the underlying theme, then you are worlds ahead for yourself and your family in dialing it down specific to what's going on for you, and then understanding what kind of protocols to put into place to address that underlying theme that's causing the hot light on your dashboard.
So let me just say that as a child, I dealt with or suffered with eczema. I had really, I think, chronic eczema. It was in my hair, it was on my elbows, it was on my knees. You know, it just happened. No one really understood what it was and what to do about it. And, you know, as I moved through my life, I also discovered I had Hashimoto's thyroiditis. I even had some arthritis when I was younger. You know, I had all these things going on before I had any understanding of what was driving them and how they are part of this autoimmune dynamic that is occurring. And I think this is why it's so important to have this conversation, because so many people are dealing with this autoimmune issue, which I know you will get into in greater depth, but have not put the dots together. They've not connected the dots to see that what their body is trying to tell them, what's the underlying issue that is popping up all over the places. And and that's part of what brought me to this understanding and this journey that I've been on in healing my autoimmune conditions, one of the many millions of people who are dealing with this, you know, this challenge in life and how to restore it. So
You know, it's not just that people don't understand, our doctors don't understand. The American Autoimmune Disease and Autoimmune and Related Disease Association, which is the largest group in the country dealing with autoimmunity from the patient viewpoint, they did a survey of physicians, family physicians, and general practitioners, and they asked them, how many courses did you get in medical school on autoimmunity? And the vast majority of them said zero courses. And they had two or three classes, not courses, but classes. And then they asked, how comfortable are you in diagnosing autoimmune disease? And only 14% of the doctors said they felt comfortable, meaning they knew how to diagnose autoimmune diseases. That for the most prevalent underlying dynamic that eventually produces a disease in your body, the most prevalent one, only 14% of our doctors are comfortable identifying it. Now, why is that? I think a really good big picture overview for your listeners comes from the Dean of Medicine at Stanford Medical School was invited to give the commencement address a few years ago to the medical school graduates. And it was so profound that they published it word for word in the New England Journal of Medicine afterwards. And what he said was, I want to congratulate you. You are some of the very best trained physicians in the world, that you have the cutting edge skills, the deepest knowledge in diagnosing conditions. However, we also have to apologize to you. And he paused, and there was like silence in the room. And he said, "We have prepared you for all of the acute conditions that might come across your office, might come through your office. However, 78% of what's going to come into your office is chronic disease, not acute crisis. But if you have a heart attack, that's acute crisis, you're the best trained. If you have a severe infection, you're the best trained to identify and what drugs you use to fix it. But if when people come in with cardiovascular disease or diabetes or brain fog or stiff joints and arthritic joints, 78% of what comes into doctors' offices is chronic conditions, and our doctors are not trained in identifying or addressing chronic disease. They are trained in acute crisis care. And when we recognize that basic foundational fact in our current medical education system, we realize how to use our doctors. I mean, you want the very best trained doctor for acute crisis, but then you also want a doctor on your team who is trained in chronic care and how to identify and address chronic disease. So you need more than just one pediatrician for your family. You need the acute care pediatrician, but then you also want a chronic disease care pediatrician to work with you and your family.
You know, it gets really so convoluted with all this because the best-intentioned medical doctors and the specialists that you go to will put you on a variety of steroid drugs if you're dealing with an autoimmune condition because inflammation is very common, or, you know, other drugs that are associated with a specific condition, whether it's Parkinson's or MS, but no one in that sphere, in that paradigm, or very few in that paradigm, really have the knowledge to get to the bottom line so the body can begin a healing process, because putting a patient on steroids will create a whole new slew of problems that just compound the condition in the end.
That is exactly why I wrote The Autoimmune Fix. Exactly why. Because the standard approach in a acute care crisis office is when you come in with a crisis, let's get the hot light off the dashboard. So let's give you steroids. And as you've referenced, all the complications that come with taking steroids. Let's suppress that immune system response. In a functional medicine approach, be activated. But Mrs. Patient, your immune system is the armed forces in your body. It's there to protect you. There's an Army, an Air Force, a Marines, a Coast Guard, a Navy, IgA, IgG, IgE, IgM. It's different branches of the immune system. So when the immune system is activated to protect you, it's not an immune system that's gone haywire. It's not like girls gone crazy in Fort Lauderdale, you know, those silly things. It's not gone crazy. It's an immune system that's been activated for a specific reason, trying to protect you. In the vast majority of cases, that's what's going on. And so you have to identify why is the immune system activated, along with getting symptomatic relief. But you have to investigate, why is my immune system activated right now? And if it is activated and you find out why, then you reduce the why. So the autoimmune fix is all about, where does this stuff come from? And the bottom line is that, if I may just go right into this, the immune system we have today is exactly the same as the immune system of your ancestors thousands of years ago. Exactly the same. It works the same. It hasn't morphed into a different type of immune system. We don't change our genes that dramatically over a few thousand years. And our ancestors, what did they have to protect against? Bugs, parasites, viruses, molds, and fungus. That was it. Bugs, parasites, virus, molds, and fungus. If that gets in your body, your immune system needs to fight that and protect you. We do not have an immune system that has a specific response for mercury toxicity that's in the tuna that we eat today, or lead poisoning that comes from breathing the air in some parts of the country. When these toxic chemicals get into our body, or DDT, or PCBs, or the glyphosate that's sprayed on the foods that we're eating, these toxic chemicals, when they get in your body, your immune system says, whoa, what's this? This is not good for me. I better fight this. But the only way it can fight is as if you have a bug, parasite, virus, mold, or fungus. And so your immune system is activated to fight mercury, or activated to fight bisphenol A, the plastic softener, the chemical that's in plastic water bottles and your coffee cup lids. It gets activated to fight it, but it fights it as if it's a bug, parasite, virus, mold, or fungus. So when you look at the immune system that's been activated, producing all of this inflammation, and you ask, why is the inflammation there? And when you check and you see, oh, look, I've got elevated antibodies to bisphenol A. Oh, my goodness, what the heck is that? And then you learn what bisphenol A is, and you reduce your exposures to bisphenol A. The goal here is that the antibody levels calm down in 3 to 6 months. Now you've reduced the need for your system to be activated to fight a bug, parasite, virus, mold, or fungus. Now, it happened to be bisphenol A in this example, but now the need is no longer there and it calms down. That is the primary mechanism by which thousands of doctors are reversing autoimmune diseases today, is by looking to see, why is this immune system activated, producing all this inflammation? Let's not just try to put the inflammation out. Of course, you want to include that, but you have to look at, why is this happening? And when you reduce the toxic exposures that we're exposed to every single day, it's abhorrent just how bad it is now. It's just, you in the Journal of Pediatrics, they published the paper a couple of years ago, and this is no exaggeration, for every human being in the United States today, there are 250 pounds of toxic chemicals per person per day being dumped in the U.S. For every person in the U.S., 250 pounds a day. Now, just imagine, if you're a family of four, that's 1,000 pounds of chemicals per day being dumped in the U.S. The result of this, here's another big picture view, the result of this is that the World Wildlife Fund published a paper 2 months ago in conjunction with two universities demonstrating that there has been a 57% reduction in all wildlife on the planet since 1970. In the last 46 years, we've lost more than half of the bumblebees, the caterpillars, the great whales, the polar bears, the hummingbirds. More than half of everything is gone on the planet. It's gone. It's been wiped out. And those percentages are worse for the species that live near fresh water. Why is that? They're drinking the water. And if we were drinking the water, we'd be getting cancer sooner, and we'd be less able to reproduce, and we would be becoming extinct faster, just like every other mammal and animal and insect on the planet. 57% of everything has been wiped out in the last 46 years. We have to wake up to what's occurring. So here is the big picture overview. It's in the book, the Autoimmune Fix. That's what the book's about. It's a wake-up call. Here's all the science. Here's the quotes from the scientists with my visuals of what they're saying and what that means, like the dash light, the hot light on the dashboard, so that people can understand this big picture and you start asking more questions. Where are we being exposed? I'm going to give you one more example. That is, I referenced the lids on coffee cups that you get at your local coffee shop. Those lids are loaded with bisphenol A. You put a lid on a hot coffee when you pick it up at the counter. The steam from the hot coffee floats up, condenses on the underside of the lid, drips back down into the coffee full of bisphenol A, because bisphenol A is very water-soluble. Then you tilt the cup up to your lips so the hot beverage is hitting the underside of the lid, and it funnels down into the opening, and you're drinking it with more bisphenol A. Now, what's bisphenol A? Bisphenol A binds to hormone receptors in your body. So what happens when that occurs? When enough of that occurs and you make antibodies to bisphenol A, now you're at risk of ovarian cancer, uterine fibroids, ovarian cysts, breast cancer, low testosterone in men, testicular cancer. Just go to Google and type in testicular cancer and bisphenol A. Here come the studies. I mean, the scientists know all this, but no one's putting it together for people. And we have to wake up as a people to protect ourselves and our children, because we're wiping out everything that lives on the planet with the amount of toxicity that's occurring today.
So it's exposure to toxicity, which occurs while still in the womb, right?
That yes. Every newborn child in America, and I'm sorry, I don't want to exaggerate, 9 out of 10, the studies say 9 out of 10 newborn children born today have on average 186 toxic chemicals in their bloodstream at birth that aren't supposed to be there. That's right. The average in the United States today. So when you say in the womb, that's exactly right. It's happening in the womb because mom has these chemicals stored in the fat cells of her body, plus she's being exposed to these in the foods that she's eating and the air that she's breathing, and so it starts in the womb. Exactly right.
So the introduction of all of these thousands of chemicals and heavy metals that have permeated our environment and our food chain have created a reaction in our body because they're unnatural. They shouldn't be there. We've never evolved with them. They don't belong in our bodies. They have consequences to how our physiology works. And the body then is reacting in a variety of ways to this continuous, constant exposure of chemicals that are interfering with key physiological processes.
Exactly right. And the body only knows how to respond as if it's a bug, parasite, virus, mold, or fungus. That's the only way it can respond. Our armed forces that are there to protect us can only respond that way. So here comes the inflammation. And then you get all the collateral damage from the inflammation.
So when people get diagnosed with a condition that ultimately is an autoimmune, breaks down, bottom line, it's an autoimmune condition, be it MS or Parkinson's or arthritis or eczema, whatever it is, these are specific tissues in the body that have been affected. What are your thoughts as to why certain tissues, certain structures in the body, for some people are more vulnerable as opposed to others?
Really good question. We've got a lot of information on that in the book and the section on genetics. If you pull at a chain, Mrs. Patient, if you pull at a chain, the chain always breaks at the weakest link. It could be at one end, the middle, the other end, wherever the weak link is. You pull on the chain, that's where it's going to break. Well, the pull on the chain in your body is when your immune system is fighting a bug, parasite, virus, mold, or fungus. That's the pull on the chain. And so wherever your genetic weak link is, there's two factors that come into play, your genetics and also what's called your antecedents. And what that means is how you've lived your life. Do you have a whole lot of lead in your body like I did? I grew up in Detroit across the river from the Rouge plant, Ford's largest assembly line. And back in the 50s and 60s, there wasn't the air pollution controls that we have today. And I had the highest level of lead of any patient I've ever checked. When I checked in my 40s, I didn't know. I had this lead for years and years and years in my body. So it depends on the antecedents and your genetics as to where the weak link in your chain is. That is why, for example, when you have a sensitivity to wheat, that's another environmental toxin for people. When you have a sensitivity to wheat, there's over 20,000 studies, I'm not exaggerating, 20,000 studies that say wheat may cause gallbladder problems, or it may cause attention deficit, or it may cause hormone imbalances, or it may cause miscarriages. I published a paper in the Journal of Practical Gastroenterology on celiac disease and reproductive disorders, and there are 64 studies that I quote of women with recurrent miscarriages. And when you put them on a wheat-free diet, they have healthy babies. It's unbelievable, the numbers of when you identify a woman that has a wheat sensitivity and she has recurrent miscarriages, get her on a wheat-free diet, and 8 out of 9 of those women, 8 out of 9, will have a healthy pregnancy and a healthy delivery after recurrent miscarriages. So it just depends on where the weak link in your chain is as to where it's going to manifest. It could be in your heart. That's why Mayo Clinic has published studies on reversing cardiomyopathy, which is heart dysfunction, severe heart dysfunction, reversing cardiomyopathy on a gluten-free diet. They've got 3 or 4 papers published on this. So it just depends on which environmental toxin you're exposed to and what's your genetics and the antecedents that you've accumulated as to where it's going to manifest. Let me give you one other example. One of the more common autoimmune diseases is called Hashimoto's thyroid disease. And I think you referenced that you had suffered from that yourself.
Right.
So when you have a thyroid patient, you say to them, Mrs. Patient, if you're in an elevator in a hotel and the elevator door opens, can you tell the swimming pool's on that floor right away? And they say, oh, yeah, yeah, I can smell it. Can't everybody? No, no, but you can, right? Yes. Well, that suggests that you're highly sensitive to chlorine. Now, receptor sites sit on the outside of cells. They're like a catcher's mitt, and the pitcher throws the ball to the catcher. And a receptor site for a hormone sitting on the outside of the cell is how the hormone gets inside the cell. So estrogen goes in the bloodstream. It's in the bloodstream. It goes past a cell. If there's an estrogen receptor, the estrogen molecule goes right into the receptor, which opens the door to the cell, and the estrogen goes right into the cell. Estrogen will not go into a testosterone receptor site, or it will not go into an insulin receptor site. It only goes into estrogen receptor sites. Thyroid hormone goes into thyroid receptor sites. That hormones go into specific receptor sites. However, on the topic of thyroid receptor sites, there are 3 chemicals that will get attracted to and bind with thyroid receptor sites, but they don't open the door to the cell. They just sit in the receptor site. They have kind of like a magnetic pull into the receptor site, and they sit there. So those 3 chemicals are chlorine, fluoride, and bromine. So if you have chlorine, you're exposed to chlorine, and your body cannot metabolize it very well for one reason or another, and the chlorine accumulates in your body, it can accumulate in your thyroid receptor sites. So now you've got thyroid hormone going through your bloodstream, but it can't get into the receptor sites. Like the pitcher throws a fastball, but the catcher's got 3 baseballs already in his glove, and the fastball just bounces back out. It can't get into the cell. So those are people that blood tests say they have adequate amounts of thyroid hormone, but they have the symptoms of a thyroid deficiency. And that's a very, very common situation that people have, because the toxic chemical chlorine is not being broken down, not being detoxified in their body very well, and it accumulates in their thyroid receptors. So the thyroid hormone cannot get into the thyroid receptors and then get into the cell. And so people have symptoms of hypothyroid, cold hands and feet. They wear socks to bed. They can't lose the last 5 pounds, even if they don't eat for a day or two. Feeling tired, borderline depression, just a lack of drive. There are many, many symptoms of thyroid dysfunction that are because not enough thyroid hormone is getting into the cell. And it's coming from chlorine sitting in this example, coming from chlorine sitting in the receptor sites. And then your immune system, trying to protect you, makes antibodies to the chlorine. And when you make antibodies to the chlorine, it attacks the thyroid receptors. Now you start developing the autoimmune thyroid mechanism because of that. And so that's an example where you have to look at what's the trigger for the autoimmune thyroid disease that someone comes into your office with, what is the trigger that the body's making antibodies to thyroid for? And this is a very common example in one of the more common autoimmune diseases, Hashimoto's thyroid disease, that a chlorine sensitivity has a great contribution to the development of that autoimmune disease.
So just to recap really quickly, and then we'll take a break and we can get into this in more depth, but various tissues absorb or are exposed to a variety of chemicals. There are certain chemicals, for whatever reason, lodge or absorb by certain tissues, and therefore, which shouldn't be there because they're unnatural, and they're impairing function and also can be perceived as a toxic invader that the immune system is going after, and therefore the immune system can create this, you know, an inflammatory reaction to. Depending on that, where that weak chink is, it's really the result of whatever chemicals or toxins that have been absorbed by these tissues in whatever system of the body that is the driver for these autoimmune conditions of whatever variation on a theme it may be. Is that accurate?
Exactly right. And that's why I wrote the autoimmune fix, because for your listeners, I know this is overwhelming. It's like trying to follow these lines of thinking. It's a whole lot of information in a new area of exploration for many people. That's why I wrote the book with all of the analogies and the visuals in there and the graphs and the charts, so people can really understand on a layman's version of what is this thing. So then you can ask intelligent questions of your doctors, exploring what you have to do for your health and the health of your children.
So we're really looking at the consequence of this pervasive, ubiquitous exposure to thousands and thousands of chemicals that have gone on for, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, that now is coming home to roost because they've permeated our body and they have set this process in motion where the body, the immune system, is now attacking the various systems and organs of the body because they're saturated with chemicals.
That is exactly right. And it's never before in the history of humanity have we faced this. And we do not have an immune system that's capable of handling this. It's trying its best, but this is why autoimmune conditions are just rising exponentially. Yeah. Diabetes, Hashimoto's thyroid disease, lupus, rheumatoid, psoriasis, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, they're just going up exponentially. Because this is gathering more speed, more people are getting sick because more people are getting born earlier or they're being exposed earlier in life and accumulating all these chemicals in their body. This is a major, major threat to the survival. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be this way. I'm not an alarmist, but, you read the studies, and this is the survival of the species now.
Yeah.
We've wiped out more than half of everything that lives on the planet in 46 years. That's no mistake. There has to be a mechanism as to why that's happening.
And it's not like most people are just falling over, dead from a condition that happens overnight. This is a slow, continuous progression of deteriorating health.
I would love to give you the example of that. You said something about a break. Do you want to do the break first?
Yes,
or should I...
let's do the break. So we're going to take a quick break. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. My guest today, Dr. Tom O'Brien, is talking about healing the autoimmune epidemic. So don't go away. We have lots more to talk about. And we'll be right back.
Keep listening to PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
South of the border.
I'm Johnny Mueller, host of The Expat Files, living in Latin America. Heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a show where you'll learn how to work, play, do business, or retire and live the life of Riley. Yes, an amazing number of first world people like you are jumping off the stateside treadmill and voting with their feet. And surprise, surprise, they're finding there really is an American dream. But it's not in Seattle, Milwaukee, or Cleveland anymore. It's down here in Latin America. So be sure to tune in to The Expat Files to find out how you can live the good life on a measly Social Security check.
Hey, it's Paul Cavalcante, host of The Vinyl Experience, bringing you a new spin on a classic technology that just keeps getting bigger. Vinyl records are in, and The Vinyl Experience is the original radio show that tells their backstory, one revolution at a time. Join me Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern on PRN.FM and anytime in the archives.
Crackle, crackle. Pop, pop.
The Vinyl Experience on PRN.FM.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. Welcome back to What Women Must Know. We're talking with Dr. Tom O'Brien today, who is author of The Autoimmune Fix. So, Tom, can you just give us a really simple definition of autoimmune disease?
You bet. An autoimmune disease is when your immune system is producing, they're high-powered rifles called antibodies, and they produce elevated levels of antibodies to your tissue. Now, we all have antibodies to our tissue. For example, when you exercise and you're sore the next day, that's because you've torn some micro-trauma to the muscles. Then the immune system makes antibodies to those damaged muscle fibers to get them out of there, to clean up the mess, and then it stimulates the production of new muscle cells, and you build more muscle. So we make antibodies to the damaged muscle cells that occurred from exercising, and they get rid of the old cells to make room for new cells. So everyone has antibodies to their brain, and antibodies to their thyroid, and antibodies to their muscles, because we regenerate every cell in our body. That's normal. Some cells really quick, some cells really slow, but we have a whole new body every 7 years. So we make antibodies to our own tissue. But when you have elevated levels of antibodies to your muscles or elevated levels of antibodies to your thyroid, now you got a problem. Now you're killing off more cells than you're making. These high-powered rifles are firing chemical bullets called cytokines, and you're killing off more cells than you're making. And eventually, when you've killed off enough cells, now that tissue doesn't work very well. So I'm going to give you the example of a study. It was called a landmark study, meaning it changed the way doctors think. It was Dr. Melissa Arbuckle in 2003. She published her study in the New England Journal of Medicine. She went to the VA, the Veterans Administration, and she looked for people with lupus. And in the center she went to, she found 132 people with lupus. Now, if they're in the VA system, they're veterans. If they're veterans, they were in the armed forces. If they were in the armed forces, they had their blood drawn many times over the years when they were in the armed forces. What most people don't know is that the government's been saving all of that blood since 1978. They've been freezing it and saving it. They've got tens of millions of samples of our service people's blood. So Dr. Arbuckle went back to the VA and asked for permission to look at the blood of the currently diagnosed lupus patients when they were healthy in the Navy or in the Air Force years ago. She got permission. What did she find? Well, there are seven different antibodies that can cause lupus, and she found that every single lupus patient had all seven antibodies elevated years before they ever had a symptom. Years. The average was 7 years. Most of them, 9 years. Before they ever had a symptom, they had elevated levels of antibodies killing off tissue, killing off tissue, killing off tissue, killing off tissue, until they finally killed off enough tissue. Now they started getting symptoms, and the average was 1.5 to 2 years after the symptoms began before they've got the right diagnosis of lupus. So my question is, and her question was, when did they get lupus? They got lupus years earlier when the antibodies were elevated, more than the normal reference range, killing off tissue. And that's the whole purpose of the book and this awareness, is that once you understand this concept, now you can do a blood test to see, is my body currently fighting and has elevated levels of antibodies to my own tissue? And there's a blood test that you can look at that looks at six different tissues to your brain, three to your heart, your lungs, your liver, your kidneys, your reproductive tract, your muscles, your bones. Do you have elevated antibodies now, even though you feel, quote, fine? You feel fine. But if you have elevated antibodies to your brain, it's just a matter of time before you've killed off enough of those brain cells that you now start having brain function symptoms. So that was Arbuckle's article back in 2003, which was brilliant. And other immunologists all over the world said, this is great, good thought. So they went back to blood banks that had stored blood all over the world, and they went back and looked at the MS patients and the rheumatoid patients and the scleroderma patients and the Hashimoto's patients, to where now we know if you have elevated antibodies to particular tissue, we've got a pretty good idea when you're going to have a diagnosis of an autoimmune disease. For example, if you have elevated antibodies to your thyroid, especially postpartum, it's a 92% positive predictive value, you're getting Hashimoto's thyroid disease within 7 years. If you have elevated antibodies to a yeast in the gut, it's normal for this yeast to be there, called Saccharomyces cerevisiae. If you have elevated antibodies to it, though, it's almost 100%. You're getting Crohn's disease within 3 years. These are published studies. Rheumatoid, depending on which antibody it is 52 to 88%. You're getting rheumatoid within 7 years. I'm sorry, 11 years. For rheumatoid, it was within 11 years. And the scientists have published many different studies. This is called predictive autoimmunity. And that's what my book is about, not just crying wolf. But first, you have to understand what the problem is, where it comes from, the environmental exposures we get, how to test for it, and if it comes back positive, you got elevated antibodies in your brain, what do you do about it?
So first of all, what is that blood test that you recommend that looks at all the antibodies?
There are a couple different labs now that are doing blood tests that will look to see what do you have elevated antibodies. Most labs haven't done this yet. Most labs will just look at one at a time, and it's ridiculously expensive to do that. But there are a couple labs now. One lab opened up in 2010. The lab's called Cyrex Labs, C-Y-R-E-X. And you tell your doctor, go to CyrexLabs.com. And they do a test of 24 different tissue antibodies, 6 to your brain, 3 to your heart, and other tissues. I did this test back when it was research only, 1997. I did this test. I had 3 elevated antibodies to my brain. And I looked at this, and I was 44 at the time, in the peak of my career, wonderful family life. I was doing triathlons and scoring in the top 10% of the 30 to 35-year-olds when I was 44. So I was walking with a puffed-out chest feeling, oh, yeah, I'm a man's man. You know, I'm doing great. But I had 3 elevated antibodies to my brain. It's like, what? I called the lab, and I said, what is this? And they said, well, you have elevated antibodies. I said, this is a mistake. No, it's not. I said, do it again. They said, we did. We know it's you. We did it again. It's accurate. Sorry. And that's when I realized, even though I felt the strongest and healthiest I'd ever been in my life, I felt fine, the way we use the word fine in this culture. I felt fine. I was killing off my brain. One of the antibodies, myelin basic protein, that's what causes MS. Mm-hmm. The next one, cerebellar peptides, that's what causes old people not to be able to walk up and down the stairs gracefully anymore, and they don't have balance, and they're very cautious. And the third one, gangliosides, that's what causes the brain to shrink, and you get non-Alzheimer's dementia. I had all 3 of them elevated. It's not an incidental finding. When they're elevated, they're killing off tissue. Mm-hmm. And that woke me up. That woke me up to this whole concept, and it's taken this long now, before the book has come out, before the science could validate what we were just beginning to understand back at the turn of the century. We were just beginning to understand this 20 years ago, 19 years ago. Now we know. Now there are enough studies, and we have the whole world of predictive autoimmunity, and that's what this book is about. It's like, wake up, world. Wake up. We're killing off the planet. It's affecting us. Our immune systems, there to protect us, are just doing their best to protect us, but it's protecting us as if it's a virus, parasite, mold, fungus, or bacteria, and it's causing all this collateral damage to our own tissue, and the incidence of autoimmune disease is going up dramatically. So that's the big picture overview of all of this.
Okay, so what would be some of your top recommendations, Tom, for people to start the healing
process? Really good question.
Process?
Read the book. Read the book. There is no simple pill to take. There's no simple diet that's going to fix this. You really have to wake up to all the chemicals in your shampoo, wake up to what they put in your lipstick, wake up to what you're being exposed to every single day, wake up to the difference between organic and inorganic foods. They're spraying our foods with glyphosate. They spray almost all the wheat in this country now with glyphosate 3 weeks before they harvest because it kills the plant, it dries it out, and it doesn't plug up the combines. That's the only reason they do it. But now we get traces of glyphosate in all the wheat. Glyphosate is a toxic chemical that kills the good bacteria in your gut. The good bacteria in your gut is critical to your health across the board. Almost every system of the body is dependent on the good guys in your gut, and we're killing off the good guys. So we have to wake up. So what you have to do is get educated. I start most of my lectures for physicians because they sit there dumbfounded, like I hope your listeners are right now, with an OMG. Oh, my God. Is this true? So if you're sitting like that, yes, it is. And I start off with a slide. It's a picture of a display in Florence, in the Museum of Science in Florence. And it's a glass-domed display. It's about a foot and a half high. It's Galileo's finger. And if you go to Amazon, you can order one of the books on Galileo's finger and see the story behind it. But it's Galileo's finger. He's got one finger sticking up. And I start with that slide because everyone needs to allocate 1 hour a week to understanding all this. It's so darn overwhelming that it'll just put you on tilt if you try to understand this all at once. But if you allocate 1 hour a week, Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock after dinner, you know, whenever it is, Sunday mornings, whenever it is, 1 hour a week to really learn about this concept. All right, I'm going to read O'Brien's book. I'm going to allocate an hour a week and maybe a little more, but at least an hour a week to learning about this. I'll look at some of the studies that he put in the book, and I give you links to the studies. I tell you how to get the studies for free so you can read some of them or take them to your doctor. And you allocate 1 hour a week, in 6 months, you really understand this. And then for the rest of your life, you've developed a game plan to protect you and your family. I have to say it again, there is no pill. There is no diet that's going to fix this. It's unique and individual for every one of you. For example, when you pump gas, can you sometimes smell the gas when you're standing there waiting for the fill-up to complete? If you can smell the gas, you're smelling benzene. Benzene goes right into your lungs because you're smelling it. It goes right into your lungs, through the permeable lungs, into your bloodstream, goes right up to your brain. And it's as toxic as can be, causing inflammation in your brain. So what do? You walk around because you're standing downwind. That's why you're smelling it. So you walk around to the other side of the pump so you're upwind of it. And you don't smell it. You have to fill the tank with gas. But you learn these little things. You don't go to your coffee shop to buy coffee without your stainless steel mug that you take in with you. You say, fill it up, please. And then you get your beverages, but you're not going to use their plastic containers with the plastic lids. All of the little things that you start to learn in your life of how to protect yourself from the environmental exposures, your babies, your newborns that are wearing these clothes with flame retardants, and they're breathing flame retardant all day long, or in our sleeping, our sheets and our blankets and our comforters, you want cotton. You want cotton because it doesn't have flame retardants in it. You can't be breathing that stuff every day, along with the formaldehyde that's in the pressboard cabinets. When we put new cabinets into our kitchen, if they're pressboard, they're loaded with formaldehyde, and it's outgassing formaldehyde. You have to learn all this overwhelming stuff, and it's just overwhelming unless you allocate 1 hour a week and you have a big picture overview. That's what... You want to be successful at this, you read the book so you understand this, and you allocate 1 hour a week, and maybe you have family discussion 1 hour a week, or with your spouse, or with your children about this, so that you're educating the entire family on this.
Because the real process is understanding, as you were saying, the exposure to all of the chemicals from all these different sources that have permeated our food, our air, our water, everything. And what we need to really appreciate, it's not just, it's not just a socially conscious thing to do to be choosing organic foods. It's actually imperative for our health to eliminate as much as we can exposures to toxic chemicals that never existed in the history of humanity before.
You're absolutely right. It is imperative. There's a wonderful YouTube video. It's either Swedish, is it Swedish or Swiss? I think it's Swedish. But if you type it in Swedish family organic food, and it's a wonderful video where they took a family of four, and they just measured their urine for toxic chemicals, and they all had many toxic chemicals. And when the researchers explained to the mother what these chemicals do to your children's brain, she said, why would I do this to them? So this study, what they did was they took all the food out of the house, and they replaced the ketchup with organic ketchup. They replaced the macaroni and cheese with organic macaroni and cheese. You know, everything was organic. They took the salt out and put sea salt, so it didn't have salt with sugar and caking agents in it and all that. They just did organics. And in 1 month, and they showed the urine tests every week for the four people for a month. At the end of the month, three out of four of them no longer had any toxic chemicals in their urine at all. And one of them just had a couple left. I think it was the young daughter still had a couple left. But you see this, and you see just the parents, you know, they're not long-haired hippie fanatics. They're just saying, why would I put this brain toxin in my daughter's body? And after a month of this, they saw that it completely changed the urine test for their family, and they were sold. So you're right. This is not a socially conscious thing to do. This is to protect yourself and your family for the rest of your lives.
And that story is so powerful because it shows us that if you make these changes, you can impact results quickly.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So some things will take longer to clear out of the system, but other chemicals like bisphenol A can rapidly be eliminated if you're not reintroducing it on a daily basis.
Yes, and in the terms of the elevated levels of antibodies, once you do the test and you see you've got them, and you do an OMG, oh my God, what do I do about this? And you learn what to do, and you do it. It's going to take 6 months to a year before you should do another test because your immune system stays activated to protect you for quite a while. So don't waste your money getting a recheck done in 2 or 3 months. It'll take 6 months to a year. But then back and you'll see that your thyroid antibodies are down to normal. Or if they were so tremendously high, most labs it should be below 45. Some people have it at 6,000. And when they recheck in 6 months, it's down to 800. Oh my God, it's still 10 times above the limit. Yes, it is. But look how much has come down. You're on the right track. Keep going. You're on the right track. Because you may not feel different when you still have elevated antibodies. Everybody looks to say they look to feeling better as the determinant factor as to whether or not they're going to continue a program. I submit to you, you look to the armed forces. Body language never lies. And so you look to the armed forces that are elevated years before you have a problem, and you say, are the armed forces calming down? If they are, you're on the right track. You may have to tweak it a little bit to accelerate the calming down effect, but you're on the right track. Do not base the judgment of the success of a program on how you feel. Of course you want to feel better, of course, but that's not the determinant factor here in saving your life from these degenerative diseases. The determinant factor is what is your immune system doing right now?
And that's where getting the blood test that gives you the feedback, an indication of just what's happening with elevated antibodies. So you have a roadmap to work
exactly.
with.
Exactly right.
So we only have a couple of more minutes left. I want to remind people that we're talking to Dr. Tom O'Brien. He's the author of The Autoimmune Fix, which is what we've been encouraging you to go and pick up a copy and do your home study with it. And his website is called thedrthedoctor.com, thedr.com, which I recommend you go check it out. You can order the book there on Amazon. But in the few minutes we have left, Tom, is there anything you want to just touch on quickly to kind of wrap things up?
Well, first, on ordering the book, if you go through the website to do it, there are a number of handouts that we also give you right away. And then we'll just give you the link to go to Amazon. You certainly can go to Amazon directly if you want to, but if you go through the DR.com, there are a few, I think there's four or five handouts that help you with this whole concept, and they're free. They're there for you, because I really want people to understand this. The New England Journal of Medicine, published that for the first time in the history of the human species, never before has this happened, but for the first time in the history of humans, children born today have a shorter projected lifespan than their parents. They're going to get sick at an earlier age, get diagnosed with degenerative diseases at an earlier age, and die at an earlier age than when their parents die.
So
that's never happened before. Now take that into consideration, and take into consideration this whole topic about loss of wildlife, 57% loss of all wildlife on the planet in 46 years, and it'll give you a sense of what we're dealing with here.
Tom,
and we're blindly
so
going
for the...
forward with this, and we just have to wake up. What we're being exposed to today, that's the purpose of the Autoimmune Fix.
Dr. Tom O'Brien, thank you so much for the great work you're doing. We've come to the end of the show. So appreciate it. And always remember, honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.